Blog Talk Radio.
Our roots began in Africa, where we enjoyed self-determination and freedom, which were rooted in our sovereignty. Peace, family. Welcome to Dare to Win, the Us Lifting Us weekly radio program that airs every Thursday evening from 9 p.m. to 10 p.m. Eastern Time. Dare to Win is the place where we have sobering conversations about the economic plight of Black people and the imperative that we build the global economic machinery that will free us and once again put us on the path of making history. We at Us Lifting Us have developed an exact methodology on how to build this global machinery and pass it forward to our children and future generations. To join tonight's conversation, please call 929-477-2789. Press the number 1 on your phone when you want to make a comment or ask a question. If you prefer to listen on your computer, go to www.usliftingus.com. Scroll down to the bottom of the home page, click on the Dare to Win button, then click on Listen Live. At that time, you will be on the Blog Talk Radio site. If you want to get reminders from Blog Talk Radio for upcoming Dare to Win programs, please click on the follow button. Ulu members, we have our own social media community. Please join if you have not already done so. There is a Dare to Win group, and we would like to have your feedback on past Dare to Win programs as well as topic suggestions for future programs. Go to uslippingus.com. You can reach the Ulu community through the members-only portal. When you register for the Ulu community, please use the same name you use to join Ulu. Have you registered for the 2024 Ulu Convention and Annual Meeting yet? This members only event will be held on Saturday, March 9th and Sunday, March 10th in Atlanta. Get more information and register at www.usliftingus.com. Those dates again are Saturday, the 9th of March, and Sunday, the 10th of March. I'm Sister Q, and joining me for this evening's discussion is Brother Ankti. Tonight's topic is New Ujamaa is the Revolution. Why? Okay, let's see if we can find Brother Ankti here. Peace, Brother Ankti. Hello, Brother Ankti. Okay, I'm having trouble on the board trying to get Brother Ankti on the line. So please give me a minute. Brother Ankti, is that you?
No, it's not.
Okay. Sorry. Thank you.
Brother
Ankti, please. Brother Ankti, will you please press number one on your keypad so I can find you? Okay. Thank you. Peace, Brother Ankti. I thought I had you before. How are you doing tonight? Hello?
This is Akima. Can you hear me?
Yes, I can hear you, brother. How are you?
Yeah. If we don't find Ankti, you know, we certainly can chime in on the subject of New Ujamaa.
Okay.
All right. Want to let you know we were here.
All right, I appreciate that. I'll see if Brother Ankti raises his hand, too. I thought that was your number. All right,
exactly.
I don't have. Brother Ankti, if you're there, please press the number one on your keypad so I can find you. You have a lot of callers.
Greetings, Sister Q. How are you?
Hey,
yeah,
there he is.
Oh, there you go. Peace. How are you doing tonight?
I'm good. Whose voice was that I heard before yours? Was that Baba Hakima?
Yeah, both.
Baba Hakima.
Okay.
Yes.
Yeah. When I saw the subject was New Ujamaa, I said, well, you know, she was calling for you and you weren't there. I said, well, at least I knew a little bit about that one.
Okay.
All right,
yes,
then. I'll duck out.
All right. Thank you, Baba.
All right, take care.
Brother Ankti, so how are you doing tonight?
I am doing excellent, Sister Q. Feeling good and always excited to share with the Hulu family. And I trust that you are well also.
Yes, I am. Thank you for asking.
Okay.
As usual, we look forward to learning a thing or three today. So, Brother Ankti, let's begin by defining terms. Tonight's subject is New Ujamaa is the Revolution. Why? When you say revolution, what do you mean?
Excellent question, and thank you for that question. Revolution has to do with, oftentimes it's just described as a radical change. But when we're talking about revolution in the context of political economy, what we're talking about is a radical change. The reason it is radical is because not only have you changed the political formation, you've also changed the economic formation.
Okay.
And we have oftentimes we see, for example, a group of us were looking at some of the recent coup d'etats that had occurred in Western Africa. And in the span of 4 years, there's been like 7 or 8 coup d'etats where the government has been overturned. And in most of those cases, the military took control and took power. Now, some people would look at that as a revolution, but that really is a reform, or what perhaps the colloquial nomenclature would be a regime change. In other words, you took this president and their vice president and their cabinet out, and you put another group of people in. And people might, because their group came into power, they might call that a revolution. But it is not, as we are defining revolution in this conversation tonight, we are talking about a change that changes not only the political structure, but most importantly, the economic structure. That gets at the heart of revolution. Anything other than that is a reform. So, for example, when Donald Trump came into the presidency, what was that, in 2016, it was a very radical change. And some of the things that they put into place were very difficult for a lot of people to deal with. It was not a revolution. It was still a reform of what had gone on before. When we in ULU are talking about revolution, we're talking about changing the political structure and the economic structure. Now, why is that necessary? Many of us, and we've had conversations around this topic on Dare to Win before. The economy not only provides goods and services to the society that it serves, the economy is where the worldview and the value system of the society are housed, and where the values and the worldview of the society then get injected into the political structure. I'm hoping this is making some sense.
Yes, it is.
What I mean by that is, say, for example, in an African worldview based on Ma'at and then Nguza Saba, and we mean, when we say Ma'at, what we're talking about is truth, justice, righteousness, order, balance, harmony, and reciprocity. When we talk about the Nguza Saba, most of us that have any familiarity with Kwanzaa know we're talking about unity and self-determination, collective work and responsibility. We're talking about cooperative economics. We're talking about purpose. We're talking about creativity. And we're talking about faith. As values, those are just terms. They don't mean anything unless they are practiced by the society or the community. And so in capitalist formations like we lived in the United States, the value system and the worldview is based, first of all, on domination of other people. And there's violence. And there's materialism.
Brother Auntie?
Yes.
I need your help. The program was set up for 15 minutes, and we're about 1 minute left. Is there a way I can change
serious?
That right quick?
I don't know if you can.
Serious.
Without, I see we're down, we're down to what, 42 seconds?
Yes. Is there a way for me to create a new program right quick and you come back?
Well,
I don't know how I did that.
That's a good question. You know, you have to set up an episode, and you'd have to set it up for, maybe it would let you set it up for, what is it, 9:15? It might let you set it up for, you could try 9:15 or 9:20 and build it in for 50 minutes or 100 minutes. So go okay. to, where would you go to? Go to...
create an episode.
Yeah, create episode. And
okay.
see if it'll let you set up another episode same day and increase the time frame.
Okay.
And while
right.
you do that, I'll say as much as I can before they shut us down.
Gotcha.
And listeners who are on the line, just hold tight. if we go dark for a minute, just dial back in. And you might have to give us 5 or 10 minutes and dial back in, and we hopefully can resume the broadcast. What I was saying about the values of capitalist formation being dominance and violence and subjugation of others, materialism, hyper-individualism, competition, all of that. And if you look at the way the country runs, those are the values that are playing out every time the cash register rings. Because in order mm-hmm. for profits to be generated in this culture, somebody has to be exploited. And so even though, you know, you're shopping in your favorite store, you saw something that you really fell in love with and you just have to have it.
Mm-hmm.
So if it's a pair of Guess jeans or something, think about the fact that the reason that you're able to buy these jeans for $25 or $40 or whatever the price is, that there are hundreds of Asian workers, women mostly, who are toiling away for pennies on the dollar, making these clothes for us to consume here in the United States. We don't think about that exploitation when we walk out of the store with the product. We just put it on and you know, strut up and down the street with it. The point that we're trying to make simply is that whatever the economic system is, it is going to generate a set of values, and that's what becomes the dominant way that people are in relationship with each other in the society. And that's why, for example, in this country, even though it's quote-unquote a democracy, the place where you go to spend 40 hours a week of your time in most instances is not a democratic space. So you go to work, you have people who are over you. They tell you what to do. If you don't like what they tell you to do, you can either quit, or if you make too much noise, you'll be fired. But in terms of protesting for what is right, what is just, what is fair, that's not the space where you get to do that. And so when we talk, that is why it is necessary to have an economic revolution as well as a political revolution. Sister Q, were you able to make that
suggestion? I set up another program for 9:30. I don't know why this one has not stopped. I'm glad it hasn't, but
I am too. It's counting down.
I don't know what's going on.
I hope we didn't lose the other viewers from the online community. So we'll just keep going.
Let's see what I see on the board. Go back to the studio and see what's there.
So the point there it is. You have an upcoming scheduled episode called in 11 minutes. What do you want to do? I don't know. Let's go and see what happens.
Okay.
Okay.
So you want to keep talking?
Yeah,
okay.
I'll keep talking. I did see a hand, 76650. Oh, that's Baba Hakima.
Yeah.
But I guess that was him coming in earlier. Let's see if he has something he wants to add to it before we go further, Sister Q. Is that all right?
Okay. Yes, sure. Please, Barbara.
Yeah, what I'm going to do, I'm going to go out on another browser and see if I can hear you out on the Internet, and I'll be back.
Okay, that's good.
All right.
It looks like all the calls are still there. It looks like, but I don't know, and I don't know if you could be heard. I don't know what's going on. I do have another program scheduled for 9:30 in case this one clicks off. But if it doesn't, we can keep going here, I think.
Well, let's give it a try.
Yeah.
So the other thing why the economic revolution is important, or why the economic revolution is the revolution, is because not only does the economy provide the goods and services that the people need and use, it also structures the way people relate to each other. So think about, you work in a factory, for example. You have a boss, and you are the worker. So there automatically is a superior and a subordinate relationship between you and your supervisor or whoever the person is over you. All the relationships in the workplace are controlled by that business formation. So, you know, it's hard to develop deep friendships at work because the basis of you coming together and coming to know each other is driven by that this is the place where you all work, right? In some places, they frown upon you forming deep relationships outside of work with the people that you work with. Supervisors are definitely discouraged from getting too close to the people they supervise, because the question supervisors always get asked, well, if you have to fire this person, are you able to do that? So what I want to make our hearers, our listeners, be very aware of is the workplace sets a pattern of relationships between the people who work there. So you have these superior and inferior vertical kinds of relationships. If you think about it, I saw it when we were doing Bible study in a church where I served for a number of years. And it was interesting. We had a lot of people who worked for the post office. And we were trying to handle some affairs in the church. But the people who worked in the post office wanted us to organize ourselves in the church the same way they were organized at the post office. So there were some people who were trying to be in charge and dictate how the work should be done. And there were other people who were part of the group who wanted to do it differently, and so there was this clash. And what was happening is the people who worked at the post office were bringing into the church setting those same kinds of relationships and wanted to arrange the church along the lines of the workplace. Now, they didn't do that intentionally. It was just subconsciously this is how they felt the best way to get this done, right? And to me, that was a clear example of the economy forming the infrastructure or the foundation of the relationship would have. And we had to fight that tooth and claw because we were trying to make sure that the church community was operating on a love ethic, on brothers and sisters are equal, let every voice be heard. Let's debate this topic and figure out the best thing to do, and then move together, move forward together to accomplish the work. Very different dynamic in terms of how people organize themselves to accomplish the mission that they have set. So what I'm saying is we discovered that the economic system has a lot of influence in shaping how people behave and how they form relationships and the kinds of relationships that they form and the quality of the relationships that they form. So if we're talking about creating a truly egalitarian society, a truly African-based community and village, then we have to have an economic model underneath us that allows us to practice those different kinds of values. So if we're going to be self-determining, then our economy has to support and foster self-determination. It has to support and foster unity and collective work and responsibility and cooperative economics and purpose and creativity and faith. The only way those values become real is when they are practiced in an economic formation and they then spill over into all the ways that people interact and socialize with each other. So, we can't have a revolution unless we change the economic system. So to talk about revolution, we have to be talking about a different economic model. Anyone that's talking about change, that's talking about making a better future, if they're not also talking about changing the economy, we're going to wind up with different faces, but the same old will still be going on underneath. Secondly, as we move to create a different economic structure, we also have to be aware of the fact that this is inviting us and giving us the opportunity to now enter into new ways of being in relationship with each other. Not this vertical, I'm better, you know, better than you, this mm-hmm. all of this vertical, superior, inferior kinds of ways that people are forced to being together. And now we can talk about building villages and communities and spaces where there is real equality person to person. Men and women are equal, where all voices can be heard. This is the kind of behavior that a different economic system enables us to begin to practice. So that is why it is necessary to change the economic system so we can change the social relationships. I hope that makes some sense, Sister Q.
Brother Amtia,
yes, it makes perfect
Sister
sense.
Q, can y'all hear me?
Yes, I can hear you.
I did go online. The episode is canceled, so people who are listening just on the Internet are not with us, but it's saying that it's coming up in a few minutes. So
So
the few of us here can talk because we're all in the studio, but the general public has been cut off from the feed.
Well, we better.
Okay.
Don't you think we would be we better move to the other episode, Sister Q?
Yeah, that's what I was going to say. Do you want to end this episode? And I guess what you would just do is sign off.
Let's end this episode and then sign back into the new broadcast.
Okay. All right.
So you want to go ahead and hit the end episode and
end
then
episode,
we can call back
then,
in.
Okay.
So everybody that's on the call, we need you, your patience and your love. Sister Q is going to end this session. Give it 5 minutes and then dial back in, or 2 minutes and dial back in, and you'll come into a new Dare to Win episode where the online listeners can also participate on the call.
Okay.
Okay, thank you.